on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are halfway, more than halfway through the week. Welcome in. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have Wednesday. It's Northern Iowa at Evansville tonight. 6:30 pregame, so you get a little bit of Zach Gelb. Saturday, you get Northern Iowa, Indiana State, 12:30 pregame. That's a home game for you and I. And then Sunday, you have Super Bowl coverage starting from 1 o'clock until the end of the post game. So enjoy the Super Bowl this weekend. A huge time. We'll be talking a lot about that. We'll also be talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes with David Eicholt. And I get the pleasure of having Melissa Merrifield come in with Demos coming in the 5 o'clock hour. And we're going to hang out and talk about a bunch of stuff, bunch of things that Demos has going on. And a little Super Bowl. And Lord only knows, because we talk about a lot of things all the time. So, once again, glad to have you here today. Happy Wednesday. It's nice out. You know, you get a nice day like this, and then they say, yeah, and depending on how the storm goes, you could have a trace to 5 inches of snow. That's living in Iowa, folks. So sit back and enjoy. As always, want to start the show, say hi to Nana. Once again, doing really good. We're getting some Jethro's tonight on the way home, so going to have some dinner. Watch a little Iowa State. So we have Iowa State, West Virginia. If you're Iowa State fans, and, you know, nationally they're like, Iowa State, you know, they get West Virginia, then they got some, you know, and we're like, no, we do not play well when we go to West Virginia. It's just, and I have a, I'll have to dig through. I have a picture that I took last night of some stats, some Iowa State away games in the Big 12 and fouls and free throws. And it is, I was shocked that it was as big a difference as what it really is. So not an easy place to play tonight. It'd be a huge win. Starts at 6 o'clock, so you get it early, and we'll see what happens. Biggest news of the day, and yeah, this is, it's Super Bowl week, right? But it is a LeBron James day, and my if you listened to the show yesterday, my oldest and me, and it's going to be the same. Middle, Andrew's coming in, I think, on Thursday and Friday to sit in here. We'll talk a little Super Bowl, talk a little NBA. And he's gonna say that these guys have grown up with LeBron James. They grew up listening to me talk about Michael Jordan, but they've grown up watching LeBron James play basketball because we're a basketball family. We like to watch it. You know, betting wise, they like the NFL and a whole bunch of other things. But when the kids were growing up, we watched a ton of basketball. And LeBron James did something last night that a lot of people didn't think would happen. And because it takes a couple of things, it takes longevity and it takes that consistent thing. And once you get past 30 years old, of being able to keep your scoring average up. Last night, LeBron James passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and is the leading scorer in the NBA. I think that's a huge, I think it's a huge deal. It's, and both of them are there because of their ability, Kareem and LeBron, of playing and playing well at a later age. A later age than what you would expect someone to be doing well. And what LeBron's doing at his age is miraculous. I mean, it really is. And, you know, I've heard all the back and forth today. Listen, I have an understanding now that there is nothing that you can say to people that have grown up after, let's say, 2000, right around 2000, and have them have the same, maybe a little bit later than that, maybe let's say 2010, to have the same kind of feelings about Michael Jordan that I had growing up as they do with LeBron and them growing up. And it's just the way it is. We had the conversations at my work today. That was the conversation. If I was conversating with someone close to my age, a little bit younger, you know, you can fight back and forth. If not, you know, it's just a different time frame, and it's different everywhere. The games from I think Michael Jordan came into the league in I want to say 83, 84, but it might have been. It's going to be right in that general range. He changed basketball. I think LeBron James, I don't know how much LeBron James has changed basketball, but LeBron James changed social media. I mean, he is a social media. Between him, Kevin Durant, and a few others, they are social media moguls. And what they do with that platform, and that helps them with their circle of everything that they do, not just being a basketball player. I think that's the one thing that Michael Jordan changed everybody is, hey, it's really cool to be a basketball player, and it's really cool to be good at it, and it's really good to win titles and stuff. But I think he was one of the first ones that said, hey, I want to make a living after, and he does that. So that's like when someone says, what sets Michael Jordan and LeBron differently right now? I'm like, there's teams in the NBA that's wearing Michael Jordan's clothes and his shoes, and colleges are wearing his clothes and his shoes, and golfers and everything. Still, I've taken myself and taken a step back, and when I've been arguing my points, I'm saying I have a Mount Rushmore and for the NBA. And I'm gonna leave that Mount Rushmore, and I have three that are I could already be carving, knocking out stone. I think it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I think it's LeBron James, and I think it's Michael Jordan. And then you have an empty spot that you can fill a lot of people in there. I think Kobe Bryant deserves to have mention to be there. I think Magic Johnson has for winning. If you're excited about LeBron James and points being scored, that's awesome, and I get that. What he's done is amazing. But if you're doing it for stuff like that, then I think that you could have. I mean, people that are older than me, and my biggest one that I have is Grandpa Bickford. And I'm telling you, he would fight me to the edge of a cliff and push me off if I didn't include Bill Russell, because Bill Russell was the epitome of winning. And that was a big deal for Charlie. And Michael Jordan changed the way it started at North Carolina. He was different. I mean, the two people that stand out to me in college basketball that were different and started to change college basketball was Michael Jordan, and it was Patrick Ewing. And I would love to throw Lynn Bias in there, and I've said this all along. If Lynn Bias doesn't have a bad night, bad decision-making on draft night, that Lynn Bias was a combination of LeBron James and Michael Jordan and shot like Larry Bird. And it's so sad that happened, but it happens. So I mean, I have Bill Russell that you could tweak there. I have Kobe Bryant that you could tweak there. I have Magic Johnson a little bit. I would have Larry Bird there. Injuries kind of knocked it back a few. Just the pure talent that was on his team, you know, knocked it back a few. But I try to get kids that are my kids' age. So 22, 24, getting ready to be 27. That they need to go back and just watch how good Larry Bird was as a shooter and a passer and his cockiness and everything about it. And he changed the way too. But on my Mount Rushmore, there's three. And I don't think you can fight them. I don't think you put any of them above each other. It's just easier that way, because then you're not fighting about, you know, just minuscule things. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for the reasons that I've stated all along, they changed high school basketball because of him. They changed the rules. They changed the rules in college basketball so he couldn't score so easy. And what he did throughout his time playing in the NBA, his longevity in the NBA, it was amazing. Michael Jordan's Michael Jordan, the greatest winner of all time, 6 championships, 6-0, the MVPs, the defensive player, just a long list. And then you have LeBron James. What LeBron James has done is utterly jaw-breaking. And there's nothing that you can say or do to take that away from him. And here's the really bad thing. So the biggest story, if you were listening to Sports Talk Radio show today, was, yay, LeBron James, good job, man, he's there, a little bit of fighting. And what in the heck was up with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook last night that they were being so anti-LeBron? That's one of the things, you know, in that group. And I'm not your biggest Russell Westbrook fan, and for many reasons, but I don't know. He's just a different cat. And Anthony Davis, I think Anthony Davis could be one of the greatest 10, 15 players of all time. He just doesn't stay healthy, and I don't think he does a good enough job of trying to keep himself healthy. I think if he had the same regimen that Kobe did, or that Michael did, or that LeBron does, I think he would be a great player. He looked disinterested and looked like, eh, I don't want to be any part of this. This isn't fun for me. I was shocked. It looked like that LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't on the same page. And the thing that you have to take away from the most of the game last night, in a game that's that big, and you're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, who right now, after last night's game, are 26-28, and you're 25-30. So you gave them an extra game ahead of you now because you played poorly on LeBron's night. You lost 133-130. I get the Thunder don't play defense, but you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook and Pat Beverly. You do play defense. And you gave no effort last night on a game that he became the NBA's leading scorer. It's almost embarrassing for them that it happened that way. So, you know, it's something that you kind of have to take a little bit of a step back. I forgot when I came in here today, and the only reason I get to sit here and I get to do this stuff is because of my sponsors. I got so excited about talking about LeBron. The sponsors of this show is Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Also, David Eicholt is coming on in the next segment. We're going to talk Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball, Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball, the debacle that is the contract for Brian Ferentz, and a few other things with him. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I have a guest coming in, Melissa Merrifield from DEMA. So that'll be exciting to have that happen as well. So I don't want to take anything away from LeBron. It was a great night for him, a great night for his boys. I can't imagine how cool that would be to be there, be their age, get to see their dad, and have all that. It is a special time for that family, and I really like that. It is Super Bowl week. If I had to tell you what's the biggest story of Super Bowl week today was, Roger Goodell kind of had his state of the state today, and in true fashion of somebody that just doesn't know any better, right? I'm beginning to think that's what this is sometimes with some of the commissioners, some coaches. I don't think they understand what they're saying. Roger Goodell, what do you think about the officiating in the NFL? I think the officiating is never been better. I think it's exactly what we want, and it's never been better. There is not one single fan of any single team that will sit there and say that refereeing, officiating in the NFL is the best it's ever been. And I understand. I have friends that are Scott Helverson, who is a referee. It's not an easy job. I think they should change the way that they're hired. I think they should be full-time employees of the NFL. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Billions. Hundreds of billions. And you trust everything about the betting and the games and everything are based solely on the integrity of the football game. And I think there's been times during this season and during the past seasons that the integrity of the NFL has been called into question because of weird officiating. The fact that you have to game plan around who your officiating crew is coming in, because you can't play the same way again with this officiating crew as you can with another. That is a red flag. That is wrong. And I'll tell you who doesn't like it. Fans don't like it. Players don't like it. Coaches don't like it. But biggest of all, sports betting doesn't like it. And sports betting has to deal with it. And how they deal with it is they change odds based on who the officiating crews are. That is a lose-lose for a lot of people. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I got David Eicholt coming in here. We have a ton of Iowa stuff to talk about. Can't wait. He was nice enough. I had him at 5. He's nice enough. He's coming in here now. So David Eicholt and myself, right after this break.
Here's a look at traffic on
Happy Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You also can check us out on Facebook. Tonight you have Northern Iowa at Evansville. It's at 6:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Tell them we sent you. Member FDIC. My next guest, he is at David Eicholt on Twitter. It's David Eicholt. David, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, buddy? I'm doing all right. Been a busy week. Very, very interesting storylines kind of everywhere right now. It's crazy how we've gotten to this point, though.
Okay, I do see that you are, I don't know what the word, trending on Twitter. Are you dating Dua Lipa? How do you say her name?
I don't know. No, I wish. I wish. I'd be retired right now if I was. I'd be sipping a Mai Tai in a Cabo or something, Steve.
That a guy. No, it was funny. I mean, it's like, hey, all the refereeing's great in NCAA basketball and football and NFL football, and it's like, yeah, and I'm dating a supermodel. I get you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, biggest story in Iowa City, and I'll let you pick, the Caitlin Clark and the women's basketball team, Purdue and Iowa getting ready to play in the men's basketball team, or the fact of Brian Ferentz's contract and what the heck is that? Which one do you want to talk about first?
With all due respect to Caitlin Clark and what they're doing in the red hot men's basketball team, we got to go with the football team, Steen. It's absolutely unbelievable what's happening with everything with Brian Ferentz getting the incentives. I think it's an absolute clown contract. I think it's the most embarrassing press release to ever come out of University of Iowa athletics. And I know a lot of people will be quick to point to the racial disparity allegation. That wasn't embarrassing, but they actually took accountability and they faced it head on rather than do this sort of thing. That was something that had to come to light. They had to face the music. So I don't consider that embarrassing. You have to separate the two there. But what are they doing? I mean, talk about an absolute cover-up to make sure that Brian keeps his job. Yes, his contract will be terminated if they don't win 7 games next year and they don't average 25 points. But if they do it, Steen, he gets a $112,000 bonus, so he's getting paid more than he was this past year. And the 25 points is not offensive points. This is points. Overall
yeah.
points. And seven wins. Well, why? Okay, point to last week when we talked to Kirk Ferentz during the signing day press conference. He said eight's not the goal, and he was so quick to point out we're one of six teams to win eight or more games since 2015. And then you look at the schedule Iowa plays next year. Steve, they don't win 9 to 10 games and go back to Indianapolis. It's a failure.
Yeah,
it really is.
The Big Ten West is going to be
horrible next year.
Yeah.
The Big Ten West is such coaching turnover as well. I mean, you bring in a Big Ten champion, Cade McNamara. You have Eric Gall. You have a couple more weapons. Yes, injuries were a problem last year. Yes, there's a lot of things that were due to it. It wasn't just Brian Ferentz. But Brian Ferentz has been around long enough that he should not have the chance to be able to reclaim his job and reclaim his throne. The only reason is something that I'm not going to say, but I think everyone knows why Brian Ferentz is still employed at the University of Iowa.
See, I don't know, and listen, I do a sports talk radio show here in Urbandale, and I get to talk to all you guys. I don't know what Gary Barta does to get paid what he gets paid and to have his job, because I don't think he's running the Iowa Athletic Department. I'm sorry, but I don't think that's
absolutely
true.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. But here's what I would point back to, Steve. This is something I think people need to at least think about a little bit. And maybe this is a tinfoil hat theory, okay? So it's not anything I'm hearing. This is my speculation. What if Barta overstepped Kirk Ferentz and terminated Brian? Because he has that capability, right? It's not a normal power dynamic because right. the last name's the same. How would the administration at Iowa and how would the boosters play that out if Barta did that? Because, again, this is my speculation. If he went over Kirk's head and terminated Brian, what would that do to Kirk Ferentz's timeline at Iowa? I think it shortens it, and I think that's something that Iowa does not want to deal with.
Right.
So, again, maybe a tinfoil hat theory, but I think it's something that's worth at least thinking about.
Well, I want to tinfoil hat you then. If that happened, and let's say that Brian and Kirk just went, man, I'm done. Can LeVar Woods get that job?
I think so, and I think I've said it to you before. I think LeVar Woods should be the next head coach of the University of Iowa whenever Kirk decides to call it quits. I think everything LeVar Woods touches turns to gold. I think he is beloved in Iowa. I think he loves living in Iowa. He lives and breathes the program, and I think he's very, very well qualified for it. And I know some people say, well, why doesn't he go coach at a lower level? You can go from a coordinator to a solid head coach. And again, it's a rare situation where he understands Iowa. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to game plan. He's very personable. He's very, very well liked. In the age factor, I think he'd be a perfect candidate. And I know a lot of people might not want that internal hire, but I would be very, very quick to endorse LeVar Woods publicly, that I believe should be the next head coach at Iowa.
I totally agree with that. Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. The other thing that I always bring up to people when I'm talking, and I don't get much credence because they know I'm an Iowa State fan, but I like the Hawkeyes too, is that one of the biggest flaws they had in their team last year was offensive line, and that's what Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz do. I mean, that's the part that still just
yep.
keeps me up at night, and it doesn't bother me that much, but I'm like, seriously, how can you walk out there in front and talk about all this? And the biggest problem wasn't his play calling or any of that. They couldn't block anybody, and they just blatantly miss people.
I think it was a couple things there. One, I think people were very quick to blame George Barnett. I don't think it was George Barnett's fault, a lot of it. I think this is what I would point to. He took over a very bad situation at Iowa. If you look back at the 2019 and the 2020 recruiting classes, I believe they took 9 offensive linemen, okay? One of them is on the 2-deep. One. Other people left, injuries, etc. Okay? So that's 2 recruiting classes of offensive linemen that are not contributing for Iowa. Iowa's forced to go younger. They're forced to play guys that should not be ready to go. It might pay off in the long run, but that's what you get when that happens. That's why it was incredibly valuable that Iowa went out and got Dijon Parker, the offensive tackle from Saginaw Valley State.
Yep.
That's why they got Rusty Feth, an all-second-team MAC caliber guard. They're not going to be elite, but they're going to be Power 5 level sustainable. So now George Barnett can work with guys he's worked for over a year, Now the pressure is on Kirk, Brian, and George to make the offensive line work. Because guess what? You have a Big Ten championship caliber quarterback. You have Caleb Johnson, who I think could be a top 15 running back in the country next year if he's given the opportunity. Yep. And you have what I believe is a top two or top three tight end duo with Luke Lachey and Eric All, because Eric All would be in the NFL right now had he not gotten hurt last season.
I agree with that one too. Did Northwestern actually really not tell Iowa that their game was going to be at Wrigley Field?
That's interesting. I haven't dove too much into behind the scenes work about this, but I have heard that this is something that's kind of been a done deal for the last couple of months. It's been heavily rumored. I think they've had to cross some T's, dot some I's, and gotcha. Finalize things. So I wouldn't look that far into it. And honestly, I'm not a big fan of football games in baseball stadiums.
I'm not either.
But I think given the historical aspect of Wrigley, given the two programs, I think it makes sense on a lot of levels. Plus, anything to get off Ryan Field. Dean, let's not act like Ryan Field, this prestigious college football environment.
My college, radio show's parking lot may be better. So I get you. I totally believe in that. So is this game coming up? Once again, we're talking to David Eichold. He's at David Eichold on Twitter. Is this game coming up for the Iowa women against Indiana the biggest game of Lisa Bluter's career at Iowa?
I think it's up there. As far as regular season goes, I think it's a massive opportunity. But you know what game I think is going to be bigger? The last game of the season when they rematch against Indiana inside Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Yep. Because I think that's going to decide the Big Ten. And I'll tell you, Caitlin Clark, she will never be public with this. And I know she was from around your neck of the woods. You know that her not being the runaway national player of the year at this point for the third year in a row, and I've said I think she won the first 2 years. I don't care that they gave it to Beckers. I don't care they gave it to Aaliyah Boston. I've gone on enough rants on your show about that.
Me too.
You know that's got to bother her. She will never admit it, but she wants that respect, and she has shown out against top-ranked teams. It will not surprise me, Steen, and this might sound crazy. It will not surprise me if she goes out and tries to put up 50 tomorrow on Indiana. I really, really believe that she's got that big of a chip on her shoulder. Now, if she doesn't get the opportunity to do that and she gets, you know, Monica Cezano involved early, Kate Martin gets it going, Warnock gets going, Gabby Marshall hits a couple threes, she might not shoot as many shots. But it will not surprise me if she goes out there in all-out attack mode and really tries to shut the door on anybody else winning National Player of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. And she does keep track, and she does want to see retaliate's a horrible word. It's not that word, but she remembers everything. And I had Coach Kevin O'Hare. He does a lot of work with her back here in town. And one of the things that we talked about is what she have to do this year. And she's doing it. She, number one, controlling her emotions and how she talks to the referees totally changed this year. And I think she gets a more favorable thing. And the other was that she can score from all over the place. She doesn't always have to take threes, and she can get in the lane and she can post up. There's just a lot of things that she's doing differently. And I'm like, and you and I have talked about this. She has another year. I still think she's going to play two more, because I don't think that going to the WNBA is going to get her any more money than what she can get right here. What she's going to do to the college basketball record books is unbelievable.
It's going to be unbreakable. It's exactly what LeBron James is going to do to the NBA scoring record, because he's been on the record that he's going to play for another 2 or 3 years at least. Yep. I mean, Caitlin Clark, if she comes back for a fifth year, one, I think she'll be the highest paid women's college basketball player. Two, like you said, she's going to set every record imaginable. And then you get a third year Hannah Stolke combined with some of the others that they could still have in the wing. I mean, that is a scary, scary combination, because Stolke is going to continue to get better and better as well. But I'm with you. And another thing that's important to keep in mind, Steen, and this might sound crazy. Let me start with the less crazy. She's cut down her turnovers too.
Yep.
And that's something that people need to realize too. And her usage rate remains the same. But again, this is where it might sound crazy. Caitlin Clark might be the best passer, women's passer in the world. Any level of basketball. And some of the stuff that she makes on a nightly basis is absolutely unbelievable. Just look at the game against Ohio State. Look at the game against Maryland. I mean, some of these passes are absolutely insane. So I'm with you. I think she's done a much better job. As long as she doesn't say, damn it, to herself, then I think, you know, she might be all right. And I'll say this. She's got a chip on her shoulder, too, Steen, because the Indiana coach was frustrated during her press conference today that broadcasts keep talking about Caitlin Clark when she's not even in the game. And we both know Caitlin Clark heard that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you do it because that's what people want to hear. Once again, we're talking to David Eichold. He's at David Eichold on Twitter. Ogundele playing when they play Purdue, maybe get 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Is that important for the Hawkeyes?
Yes, just because he can at least try to tire out Zach Edey. Zach Edey's the National Player of the Year. I think Trace Jackson Davis is a close second right now with what he's doing at Indiana. But, if Josh Ogundele can just give him 6, 7 minutes, 3 fouls, maybe a bucket or two, a couple rebounds, I mean, I do not envy Philip Obracha for what he's going to have to try to deal with tomorrow night inside Mackey Arena. And, again, you got to give your hats off to Philip because I think he's the most improved player in the conference compared to what he did last year. But Josh Ogundele, yeah, if he can get back and get you 6, 7, 8 minutes, I think that's going to be critical because Iowa does not beat Purdue in the Big Ten Championship last year if Josh Ogundele is not available.
I agree with that and played key minutes. And here's the funny thing, and for the Hawkeyes, for the Cyclones, no matter what, this is where college basketball is right now. Not every top caliber athlete is going to Blue Bloods. To be really honest, the Blue Bloods are spinning out of control. Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke. The only one that's not is Kansas. When you get into this NCAA tournament, it doesn't matter where you're seated. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It only matters if you can keep playing your game for that many games in a row. That's who's going to win because it's wide open because of the three-point line, shooters, free throw shooting, and some of the ways that college basketball gets called on an everyday basis.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'm not buying stock into Kansas right now either. No. I mean, they've been a letdown. I think this is as wide open of a year as it's been in a long time. And I think Purdue's phenomenal. I think they deserve to be number one right now. But I don't know if those freshman guards are capable of showing up in March. I think they're a year or two away. And, you know, we've seen centers cannot carry the burden of getting too far in the tournament.
You can take it away.
Garza is arguably the best center I've ever seen.
And you can take him away.
But Iowa didn't have the shooting or the athleticism. Absolutely. So I think that's something to keep in mind as well. And like you said, the era of the shooting and everything like that. And Iowa's so weird, Steen. I don't know what kind of team they are. They're 7-0 against teams in the conference that are 500, or better than 500, and they're 0-5 against teams that are 500 or worse. I have not figured out what this Iowa team is.
I don't know either, but I know that if you have a Murray, that you can score, and that's what they need to do. And they just need to get past that
first round. Iowa fans wish that Kenny Murray had about 5 more sons, put it that way.
Exactly. David, as always, man, thank you. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you again.
Take care, buddy. Appreciate you.
Bye. David Eichold, he's the best. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans.
Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans.
Welcome back in. Once again, happy Wednesday. Last segment. Last segment of this first hour. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ. 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Website 1700thechamp.com. Tonight, you're going to get Northern Iowa at Evansville, 6:30 pregame. You get the first segment of Zach Gelb down in Arizona. So you'll get to hear a little bit of him. I think that's pretty exciting. I want to thank David Eichold for coming in today and talking Iowa Hawkeyes with me. He was wound up today. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Melissa Merrifield from Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, DMOS, is coming in. She's supposed to be rolling in here around 5. Can't wait to get to talk to her. We got a lot to talk about. We get to talk sports. We get to talk life. I love it. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused. I did that yesterday, too. Future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Heritage Building Maintenance, thank you very much for being a part of the show. Okay, a lot of stuff going on today. I just want to touch on this one more time. Roger Goodell commenting today on the state of football. And he talked about a few things. He talked about the Rooney Rule. I hate the fact that they have to call it a name. And I hate the fact that it's just not easy to hire and interview the best coaches, no matter if they're black, white, green, blue. It shouldn't matter. It should matter on what they can do for your organization. We get here sometimes because people just don't value sometimes of that. They have somebody in mind. They don't want to go through all this. And it's something that you have to do. And I don't quite understand that. But I think on the coaching front, I think they're doing a better job. I think it's a little bit more transparent. So I'm not so upset about that. Scheduling, they're right now they are going to Monday Night Football, still going to be a flex game. I have a feeling that with Amazon, the amount of money, the Thursday night game is going to be a flex game. You know, you're going to flex in and get better games on there so you can keep. So the idea being that you're going to get another night in there somewhere. I've always thought that. But him saying today that he doesn't think officiating is an issue in the league. The players are bigger, faster, stronger. If you don't understand that, you can't see that, it makes it harder and harder and harder to officiate. Coaches and players, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, cornerbacks, wide receivers, everybody, they know what they can get away with. They use it to their ability. I think to make refereeing the best is to have a pool of referees, get them teamed up, add an extra referee who's up in the booth already. He's already checking every play. So if they have an issue, all they have to do is just blow the whistle. Hey, was that call right or wrong? The guy up in the booth can say, nope, we're looking at it right now. It was good, or nope, it's not. Here's why it's not. And it has to be a part of the crew. And I think it has to be a paid full-time crew to be able to make all that work. I think that makes it better for NFL. I think it makes it better for the people that are watching, fans, all of that. And I think the other thing it does is it takes some of that out of football with all the sports betting that's being involved. Sports betting in the NFL is a huge deal, and it's going to be a huge deal, and it's never going to go away. So I think that's something that they need to work on as well. As a leader of the NFL, I don't think that you can complain about what Roger Goodell is doing. They're growing the game. They're moving the game across the world to try to enhance it even more. What they've done with sports betting, the fact that they're allowing some of these different gambling places to be on site, as long as your game is in the up and up, listen, casinos get regulated enough, but what doesn't get regulated is the NFL or the NFL teams and all of that. And listen, there can be some shenanigans going on, and we don't want shenanigans going on. So you have to take pride in what your product is and what it, because it is the best product. It is the best going today. That doesn't mean that one or two missteps can't knock it down. And you don't want to have that happen. I thought one of the other funny things, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, I think they're kind of feeling each other out here. Russell Wilson knows that, okay, it's not Nathaniel Hackett. I can't do everything that I did last year. And I think Sean Payton understands that he needs Russell Wilson at Russell Wilson's best. But that doesn't mean that Russell Wilson gets treated differently than all the rest of the football players on the team. And I think you're going to see some changes there, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. You still have a couple of coaching vacancies. It's taken a while. I think it's unnerving people. Arizona, Indianapolis. Something tells me that Indianapolis is trying to do everything they humanly possible can. And I don't know which side. So here's the really fun. I don't know which side to fall on. So they're doing everything humanly possible they can to either get Jeff Saturday hired or not hired. I just don't know which one it is because it changes every time I see something pop out from Indianapolis. When you're looking at the Arizona Cardinals job, you're going to have probably 6 weeks into the season, you're going to have Kyler Murray. If you don't hire somebody that understands Kyler Murray, can work with Kyler Murray and try to get the best out of Kyler Murray, then Arizona is just going to be keeping changing coaches until they can get rid of Kyler Murray's contract. And I don't know how soon they can get rid of that contract. I really don't. And then everything else is going to start after the Super Bowl. Everything else is going to start falling into place. You're going to have your tag people. You're going to figure out what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do with Lamar Jackson after Aaron Rodgers goes into the deep dark for 4 days with nothing going on in his life and just thinking. You're going to know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. You're probably going to. Derek Carr had the chance to talk to the New Orleans Saints yesterday. Derek Carr, I truly believe Derek Carr does not belong in the conversation with the New Orleans Saints. I don't think it's what he's looking for. I think there's better jobs out there. It'll be very curious to see where he ends up. I think that's the first domino that kind of falls that way to see where he goes. Then you see what Aaron Rodgers does. And then you move on from there. You get more into the draft. You start really taking deep looks at C.J. Stroud and Young and Will Levis and some other quarterbacks. You have to hit on one. You really do. And the issue that you have, if you're a team that's looking for a quarterback, then you're behind. And it's hard to catch up because other teams that still have quarterbacks, i.e. the Joe Burrows, and that came out today, what some of the price tags are for some of those guys in that Tua and Justin Herbert and all those guys. Some big numbers. 24, 25, $26 million. What Lamar Jackson's asking for is a lot. And Baltimore should have done a better job of trying to tie him up and get him to keep him happy. I think they've really, really not good what they've done to Lamar Jackson. And I also don't know where Lamar Jackson goes if it's not Baltimore. You're running out of spots, and it's a lot of money, and not a lot of teams have that kind of money that are sitting out there. We did talk a little bit that there's a trade out there that's trying to get done. D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers, Russell Westbrook to Utah, Mike Conley to Minnesota. D'Angelo Russell doesn't fit in Minnesota with Kat and Rudy Gobert. And there's not enough to go around. Mike Conley would be better. Mike Conley's okay if he gets five shots a game, but he'll facilitate. And Russell Westbrook in Utah, I have no idea. I have no idea about anything about Russell Westbrook. I just don't. I think the biggest thing that I saw on all the outlets today, and I'm going to tease it, but it's a very special player, got a very special award today, and I'm going to tease that until this next segment. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I have Melissa Merrifield's coming in to spend some time talking about DeMoss. I'm looking forward to that. I've also got this tease of who we're going to talk about. We got a lot to talk about. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk, Real Sports Fans.